This is HMS All Access.
Welcome to another episode of HMS All Access. I'm your host, Charlie Wolf, and on this week's episode, we talk about bowling, divorce, and getting stuff for free. Eric solves all of your problems with another edition of What Would Eric Do? And John talks about meeting people that hate the show. Also, we have an exclusive interview with Ian Camfield from 93.3. He came on, joined the boys on 98 KUPD, and now he's on the podcast. But let's get to our first clip.
I met a girl yesterday, or didn't meet her, talked to, who said that she said, "Sorry, your mouth contest is coming up, huh?" Well, first off, it started like this. She goes, "Are you that Holmberg from the radio?" Like, "I am." "Yeah, that's what she said." Points to some lady. "Okay, hi."
A little snotty.
"You're annoying." Like, "Really? Thank you. But I can't stop listening." "Okay, well, good. Thank you." And I said, "And I have a feeling." Well, then I think I really pissed her off because I have a feeling if this conversation goes on, we're going to feel the same about each other. "What do you mean by that?" I'm like, "Well, you can call me annoying and we can't have the same." Like, I can tell you right now that I wouldn't, you know, this is not the most delightful start to a conversation for me either.
That's
so
most welcoming.
Maybe you're annoying. "Oh my God, you're such a jack. So your milf contest is tomorrow." Like, "Yep. Yeah, so horse." Like, "Yeah, yep, that's what it is. It's just horse." Great assessment. Thank you.
Wow.
"You're a wonderful person." "You're annoying." Okay. It was really nice though, because she, "Stacy, you keep listening. I appreciate that."
John, you were talking about on the air today, you met a listener. Well,
not really.
Okay, not
well,
really, but
of.
Someone who didn't like the show.
No. I didn't say that. She likes the show. She finds me annoying.
She finds you annoying.
Yeah.
So you just
you're
get annoying. So much adoration when you're out. It's just shocking
one
person.
No, I'm not shocked by it. Frankly,
love.
And I'm not at all shocked by it. And I don't get a lot of adoration, but, you know, keep it to yourself, you
Okay. How often does that happen?
Where people tell
someone
me I'm annoying?
Yeah, that
every
people
day.
Come up. Well, no, like a listener. How often do they come up and be like, I hate you. I love the show, but I hate you."
Never.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah, that's Eric. That's your tone. Were you directing that at me? Maybe I misspoke.
I don't know. Well, that's why I brought you in here, because you're out at the van stops and stuff every Thursday.
Yeah.
And like, how often do you get people that come up and just start like ripping you?
Periodically.
Or the show too. Both.
Yeah, it's mostly about because he's. Calls me a socialist on there. It gets all political and stuff sometimes. But most people won't say anything to your face. Yeah. And I think they like to play along, too. Yeah. Like, they'll play along in the emails and stuff.
Sure.
And then, but they really like the show. So
sure.
They're
not going to listen if they really don't like what's going on.
Do you think events like the MILF contest bring out more of the hate,
don't care.
I guess? I know you don't care, but do you think it does?
From women.
Obviously you're going to get some backlash.
Yeah,
if they want to find things to hate, they're going to find it.
Yeah.
So maybe that thing is kind of like, but they hate the wrong shit. They hate the girls.
Well, guys and
guys
women, they'll get on there and they'll message about, she's ugly, I like this
one.
But that's just being opinionated
but
about
some people
who
like,
you want to win the MILF contest.
"You guys do this show and it's just a slut festival and you should be ashamed of yourself for being derogatory to one of my just email back. Stop being a pussy. This is fun."
Yeah, what happened to fun?
Yeah, there's a huge stick in fun's ass, and I feel sorry for fun because fun's walking around going, "My ass is cute. Hey, everybody, I'm still on, but I'm tired and I've got a thing in my ass." We've ruined it. Somebody wandered over to Fun and jabbed a goddamn rod in him. Him.
Him? Fun is a him?
Fun is not a woman.
Okay.
Fun would only be like, it would be, you know what his name would be? Part-time Fun.
So do you think there are people out there that are like, really do hate the show and don't like you, but when they see you guys out somewhere, they'll come up and pretend to be, "Oh yeah, hey, what's
Tons
up? I like
that.
You. Sure.
Yeah,
I like your show," but they really
don't
like it.
I don't think anybody ever says that. No, I think they're just indifferent towards you.
Yeah, you can tell.
It's like, yeah, they're like, I don't listen. I've had people say, "I don't listen to radio. I don't listen to your show." Okay. And I think they kind of say it like there's some sort of power play there. I don't care.
I had a kid the other day at the van, the mom, and the one kid loved our show, and she's all excited and wants to do a picture. And then there was like a teenager, and she's like, "Get in the picture." So the one kid comes over by me. The other one's like, no.
And I'm like,
"Oh, fuck you then."
He wouldn't take a picture with you.
No.
Imagine being 16 and your mom is introducing you to her favorite thing.
I wouldn't do it either.
Yeah, I might like it and I still wouldn't do it. Like, I really dig these guys. She is ruining fucking everything.
I kind of appreciated that.
Yeah, like, no, I like
stand
that.
Your ground,
I'm
man.
Not doing it, Mom. This is that thing that gets you all fucking weird, not me.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that don't like it. My mom hates our show, for God's sake.
She hates you, though. That's the bigger part. Is that
no, we're
actually,
fine now. We're good.
Now, yeah.
She hates the show.
Yeah, have you ever had, like, other family members tell you, "I don't like the show"?
I've had everybody, all my female family members, like aunts and uncles and stuff. Love, I think you're so fun. They're just doing that. They don't understand what we're doing.
I can't imagine your sister likes
it. Oh, fuck her. But they say, they'll say stuff like, I just, when the music comes on, it's just so scary. I just don't care for the music at all, but you're very funny.
I'm always curious what Bunny and Torp really think.
They can't hate it.
No.
They can't hate it.
I think they like it. Do they?
I think, well, you know what they do? Right. They often are very complimentary of, like when they came and watched us do a few things at Guadalupe Squares, they're, that's just amazing. They're very fascinated by, your grandparents are almost like people who just got out of a coma and they're just really appreciative of all the world. Like colors are nice and like just living. And they're very appreciative of when something is like going off and they're like, that's a talent or that's an ability. And they're very, they acknowledge it. You do a great job.
They handled it pretty good. Torp did say the last time he was in, he's like, I don't think we should be talking about
it. I don't want to talk about what you're saying. But that's the authentic Torp. He doesn't want to talk about that stuff, and that's great. But, yeah, I think they like it because – but would they if Brady wasn't on it? No.
No. Not at all.
Not at all, yeah. Right. That makes sense.
If you were here as kind of – I work in the station, and these guys are fun.
Charlie, they're filthy. Their music sounds like pots and pans.
She wouldn't like it.
No, yeah, you're probably right. If Brady wasn't on.
No. They're very self-centered.
All right. Well, really?
Your whole family.
I don't think that's
true.
If
it isn't about you guys, it doesn't fucking matter, so.
What would Eric do?
Another edition of What Would Eric Do?
Yes, let's do it.
We've got Eric in the building.
Damn Camfield's not going to jump around the corner.
This is not What Would Camfield Do.
Yeah,
this is What Would Eric Do.
Stupid Brit.
All right, so this question is from Mike. Dear Eric, my girlfriend wants to be a professional chef and open a restaurant. Cooking is what makes her happy. It's her passion. However, she really isn't that great. I mean, she's really good, but not qualified enough to open her own restaurant. I feel like she's going to ask me to invest and throw money at this project. What do I do?
Didn't we have this on the What Would Brady Do?
I don't know.
Maybe this guy doubled up. I thought I remember
maybe he did.
Answering this question on What Would Brady Do.
Maybe he didn't like Brady's answer, and so he wants Eric's.
Oh, all right. Well, we can do that, too. All right, so she's bad at cooking. And
well, I wouldn't. He said she's not bad, but not qualified or not good enough to open a restaurant.
Deal with it. All right. Yeah, that's a tough one. If that's her dream and all that, and you got
passion.
Yeah. You have that problem with kids too, because kids think they can do anything and you don't want to crush their dreams, but you probably should at some point, or they'll end up on American Idol, like, trying to sing in front of everybody and look like idiots, man. I would, you're just going to have to be harsh, man. You're going to have to like say, I just don't think your cooking's good enough right now. Just tell her straight up. And then, well, here's a way you can hide it, though.
Okay.
Say, this is a great idea. Yeah, yeah. All right. So you go to her and you go, all right, I think this is great. I'm behind you 100%. I want your dreams to come true. Why don't we do a test run? And we'll get a bunch of people together. So you tell her, we'll get some people together and they'll try what food you want to do at the restaurant. Because you can't just open a restaurant.
Right.
You got to have a menu and all that stuff. So we'll get some people together and we'll test it. Just random people. And so what you do is you stack the deck, right? So you get some people, you talk to them beforehand and say, listen, I don't think your cooking's very good. It's not good enough for this, so you got to help me out here. So you stack the deck with these people, and then so when they all – and you pay them. You could pay them a certain amount maybe.
Sure, give them like $20 or something, $50.
Yeah, yeah, because you're going to save money in the long run, obviously.
Right,
yeah.
Instead of sinking thousands into a restaurant.
Right, so you pay these random people, say, I'll set it up for you and all this stuff. And so she does the big cook-off thing, brings them food and all that. And then you get all those people to line up against her and just tell her it's just not that great.
Oof.
And then if there's 10 people in a room telling her this, you're fine. You're off the hook. You go, I can't believe they said this stuff. This is ridiculous.
You still have to deal with the fallout of her being all butthurt about it.
Right. But at least you're not taking the blame.
Yes. That's true. You avoid the blame. Eric, that is just evil genius-like.
I know. I think it is pretty evil genius. Brady would never come up with that.
No, Brady would never come up with that. Brady try and use honesty or something like that.
Yeah, that's garbage, dude.
What good is that?
Yeah. So you got to be careful with the people you get. I don't think – maybe they can't be friends or something.
You got to keep that on the
some randoms.
Yeah.
Like you'd be a perfect person.
Really?
Yeah. I think you would, because you would be right along with this plan, wouldn't you?
Yeah. I mean, I'd help out. I'd say whatever you want me to say. Give me 50 bucks. Give me 50 bucks. Yeah, I'll say whatever you want.
Guys just out of college, they're in.
All right. Well, thank you, Eric.
No problem.
That was what Eric did.
HMS All Access Podcast 1.
It's the season of renewal, I believe, Brady. I'm getting so many emails, like an abundance, more so than ever before, of people who have just either split up or are leaving their significant. We're getting people who are saying that we're the catalyst for that. Thank you for doing that. And then a dude emailed me and said, called Cordell and Cordell today. Your ads got me. Wasn't us. It was the ads for divorce. He's had it with her. That's it. One lady emailed me and said, I don't know if Cordell takes women. It doesn't sound like it. Of course they do. You want to leave that guy? I guess that's what we're in the middle of. A lot of people ending it all. If you need really someone helps. To tell you to take your wife out every once in a while.
Yeah.
Man. You don't like her. Oh, is that something I've got to do? Well, it would be helpful if you just once a week. Look, marriage is great. You find the right person. You don't have to convince yourself to hang out with her. And if one of the problems is, well, I'm not going out with her any. I mean, we stay at home and we stare at each other all the time. There's no, I don't want to date her anymore. Yeah. You make time for the people that you're like. You do it for your friends. Right. Like, I haven't hung out with that guy forever. I'm going to make an effort.
Right.
If you're not doing that with your spouse, then there's a bigger problem. If someone's got to say, you know, dating her isn't a bad idea. Oh, well, we're in trouble, aren't we?
So you guys were talking about divorce a lot the other day.
Yes.
And the listeners really liked it. They're
divorcing each other like crazy. Yeah.
Lots of divorce going around. You've been divorced yourself.
Yes, I have. And I go to the Louis C.K. factor. If you're in a happy marriage and everything's going really well, that's great. That's amazing. And I'm glad you're happy. But if you got divorced, you'd be happier. There's always a lingering thing behind you. Like, well, we don't have a very good chemistry when it comes to blah, blah, blah. Is it conversation or sex or whatever? Everybody knows there's something missing, and mm-hmm. they gloss over it because there's so many other good things. But that something missing thing's always there and usually rears its head in other ways and starts to destroy the other stuff. And now I'm in
it's
a relationship.
Like a cancer.
It is a cancer. Yeah, it's like a tumor. And now I'm in a relationship where I don't really have that looming thing in the back. Doesn't mean it's perfect,
mm-hmm.
but you don't ever have that thing in the back that's just waiting to be a problem. The red flags were there, and you chose to ignore them because all the other green flags were so fun. But eventually that red flag sneaks in and starts knocking the green flags down.
Do you feel like good when someone emails you something like that, like, hey, you are sort of the reason I'm getting divorced in a way,
great.
But it's not a bad, they're not saying it's bad. It's like you open their eyes in a way.
Right. Right. And people, it's a taboo thing. Oh my God.
Trying to get rid of the stigma.
It's like, no, yeah, the stigma of divorce has to go away because so many people fail now. Mm-hmm. It's a 50% thing. Plus, we live in a different world. Everybody keeps saying, oh, it's a new world. Adapt to this, adapt to that. TV's not the same. You got to go fucking search out your own TV shows. But somewhere or another, marriage has to stay in exactly the same box. It's
right.
not. We're people who can go get chicken, steak, lobster, whatever. In the next 10 minutes, you and I could go get that. Like, it could happen immediately for us.
Mm-hmm.
So why is it that when our happiness is compromised, it's taboo to say, you know what? I think I'm actually making someone miserable. Sure, you can try to fight through it, but if you're really like, I don't see happiness here,
yeah,
I'm going to fucking be miserable for a while and try to make it work, there's no shame in saying we're a society, we're a now society, which I think marriage kind of disappears from the now society and goes away.
It's just like you said, it's a different world. Like, it's not the Puritan age where you get married. Like, women have choices now and stuff,
yeah, they
too.
Can do
so, like,
things.
They can,
have
like,
jobs,
yeah, like,
they have responsibilities.
Because, I mean, if you think about the portion of human history where women have been able to be like, yeah, I don't want to be with this man anymore.
Since the
70s. They used to be sold.
Yeah, exactly. The good old days, like you're saying. The days when America was great, when you could celibate or you could go fuck. I mean, watch Mad Men. That's all you need to know. I mean, that is our parents' mm-hmm. generation, our grandparents and our parents' generation. It's not that long ago that men sat in a room and the secretaries were going to fuck them or they were fired.
Right.
And they hired hot girls and they had apartments downtown to fuck in, to go home. They drank at work. They did whatever. There was no HR department. The men would have been right. in charge of it and the women would have come to complain. They'd have fired them. That was the 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
So I like your way of going back to the old times where you could sell them or hit them.
I don't know. I don't
think
that's what I was
saying.
It's not what I was
pretty
saying.
Pretty sure that's what I heard.
Not what I was going for.
You need to be clearer than that.
Okay,
really,
sure.
You got me fired up about your plan.
HMS All Access Podcast 1. HMS All Access Podcast 1.
I've discovered what it would be that would take me away from radio and into my second chapter of my life. After last
parking
night.
Cars.
No, sir.
Gardening.
That's Dave Pratt's only. That's ironically, bring him up again. It is a professional bowler.
Oh, the opening league.
Bowling league started last night. Thought I'd be a little rusty.
Perfect game.
Nine strikes in a row, 257.
Whoa!
Yeah, I felt pretty good on the comeback game without absolutely any practice or work. And I thought to myself, how hard is this game? I can come back from like a 7 or 8 month layoff and roll what the pros roll. This is the easiest game on the planet. And then I'm talking to a friend of mine. He goes, I watched pro bowling this weekend. He goes, I want to do it too. So the purse for one of the things was like $900,000. And he goes, the guys were rolling like 240s. He said, now granted, I know that the lanes are slicked up pretty good, but if I can roll a 257 after a 7 month layoff, all I got to do is put like 4 hours in twice. I can do like a Ronnie work week. I can go 8 hours a week. And I think I can, like in a year or two when this contract's up, if I do that every week for that, I'd be great at this. So at the AMF Christown, and a manager comes over and he goes, love the show. Love the show very much. I'm like, that's fantastic. Thank you very much. And he goes, just absolutely. I'm in the midst of a 257 while he's chatting with me. Got like, you know, my seventh strike in a row. I'm sitting back. Carl Cephas on my team's got, he's got eight in a row going. He's got a perfect game through eight. But I figure 8 hours a week. If I'm rolling 257s my first day back after 7 months, I can make 257 a norm.
John, you were talking about your bowling talent and how good you are at bowling. You think you could go pro?
Think or no, I know I'm going to. If I choose to, I will. It's basically, it's now up to me on how far I want to take this. And I'm going to put in some time.
You know what? I'm going to stop this interview unless you come up with better questions. This is a professional bowler you're talking to.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, what's your average score when you're bowling?
Charlie, you don't understand. My average right now doesn't matter. What I realize that is it lives inside me to get out of a car, walk into a bowling alley, and roll nine strikes in a row.
He rolled 257 last night, Charlie.
I flirt with 200. My average was a little lower than that last year, about 172.
Okay.
But it was also about 10 years removed from the last time I bowled. I go in there, throw a 257 in the most impressive fashion ever, and said, it's in me. And plus, I am smarter than everyone in professional bowling already. That's a fact.
How do you know that?
I'm smarter than everyone in professional bowling. I know I would get in their heads. Okay. I am sociopathic in a certain regard that I just don't care if anyone likes me or not, and I don't really give a fuck about what they think. So me climbing into their heads in a competitive way, I would just mentally mess them up just by being there. Well, and Brady would be my gay husband in our union, and all these places would fume over the idea of having to accept us in their club, knowing that they hate it, and I would kiss him after each strike, right? Just a little intermingling of mustache hair just to
Which
drive the bowlers.
Which isn't that much of a stretch because that's how the whole thing started on the radio gigs.
That's quite a plan.
Same opportunity.
Doesn't really matter if that's true or not.
When you bowl, do you like throw any spin on it or just right down the center?
Uh-uh. I spin it.
I'm just making sure. I've never seen you bowl.
Charlie, I'm just along for the D.
Charlie, let me help you out.
I realize that.
Charlie, you've never seen me bowl?
Never been prouder of you.
You ever seen a strike?
Yes.
Now just picture me doing it because that's all I do.
Okay, I got it.
Now you've seen me bowl.
Do you have your own personalized ball?
Yes, I've got two of them. I know how to bowl.
I'm just making sure.
I'm not just out there hucking and chucking, my friend.
You know what?
We're getting close.
Real close. One more like that.
Canceling the interview?
Yeah, yes, one more like that.
You're bouncing off the boundaries here, buddy.
So I looked it up, and the top 10 PBA bowlers from 2016, average score was at least 223, and the highest was 236.
Right. And I'm throwing 257s. I haven't touched a bowling ball in seven.
You threw 257.
I threw three games last night. My average will be about 204.
Not bad.
Yeah. It's fucking great. It's called scratch.
You're talking 19 pins more.
Yeah.
And
here's the thing. And this guy's professional. I'm 20 pins behind him. I'm not even trying. Imagine if I put my mind to this shit game. So long as the PBA thinks I'm fucking Brady as a husband-husband situation, I need a third transsexual bathroom, and I can't stop talking about Hillary, I will not lose a single match.
You're really just banking hard on being this gay thing, aren't you?
Like, that's the key to success here, because I can have an off day and get real flamboyant and then throw the other guy off to where we're even keeled again.
Advancing to the semifinals with a 131.
Yeah. I didn't hear. Did they say my name? I had a dick in my mouth.
Oh, God.
I hate pro bowling now.
So you're basically saying that most of your winning will come from distracting your opponent.
Most of my winning will be that I got out of the car yesterday after having not touched a bowling ball in 7 months and rolled a 257
sure, sure.
Fair. It's easy. I'm not trying and I can compete. Imagine putting 8 hours a week in. I'll be fucking fantastic. It's a poor man's sport. It'll cost me $9 to practice every week. And you keep saying the average this, the average that. I'm going to change the game, man.
Rewrite everything.
I am LeVar Ball.
The average
Ball.
Is going to drop down to 165 after the first year.
I am Big Baller.
Well, good luck to you, Johnny.
It's going to happen, Charlie.
You're listening to HMS All Access on Podcast One.
All right. Ian Camfield joining the podcast, HMS All Access.
I feel like I'm getting all access to HMS now. I go in on air, and now I'm on the podcast. I didn't even know there was a podcast.
Yeah, a podcast.
John doesn't do it himself. He's too famous for that.
Too much for that. I got a host to sort of keep. I got to keep it under control. I think if John took it, it'd be a little crazy, I think.
Does he know how nice you are? Because I'm sensing this is the first time I've been in a studio that's been Holmberg-related, and not everyone's getting at me.
Yes, that was one thing.
It's like, nice to have the balance.
He's you called him the bastion of hate.
Yes, he has the monopoly on hate.
How long have you been in the States now?
A little over a year.
A little over a year. How do you like it?
I love it.
Why?
Because the people, everyone's like friendly and efficient. The weather's great. Let me tell you about the UK. Nothing works in the UK, right? You guys, you Americans, you go to England and you go, oh, it's great. There's all the history and the architecture and blah, 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 blah. That's all true, right? Once you've had 2 weeks of that, if you have to stay there any longer, which you won't because you don't get any vacation time in this country. But if you did, right? You just realize, everything's old and therefore nothing works properly. And also you're just surrounded by a bunch of Brits, and this is the thing that Brits do. They kind of meander along and they moan about everything, but they don't do anything about fixing it. It's like a crappy sort of semi-socialist country. I can't bear it.
You know, Ian, you can swear on the podcast too now.
Oh, you can?
It is all access.
I fucking hate the UK.
Well, welcome to America. We're happy to have you, Ian.
Thank you.
So,
The other thing I've noticed about John from being in the show, no one really goes up against him. No one challenges him, right? I mean, it's a bunch of sycophants that are around there. I just heard the, whatever they call it, the new review, the new stuff, whatever. What's that segment called?
That's just new stuff. Hot releases.
That's it, one. There was a bit where someone said that one of the releases was like Brady's favorite. And John was just like, oh, yeah, that's crap. I've had enough of that. No one challenged him. Where was Brady going, no, fuck you, play more. I want to hear the track that Todd Rundgren's done with the guy from Steely Dan. Press play, you motherfucker.
You're right, I think. There is little opposition to John.
No one goes up against him.
So yeah, Brady doesn't stick up for himself enough. Brady's actually my uncle.
Is he?
Yes, he is my...
Are you winding me up, or is this true?
No, this is true. He is my mom's brother.
Okay.
And that's the only reason I'm here, Ian. Nepotism.
Oh.
It's the only reason that I've
gotten...
Is that
how most people get on the show? It's kind
I
of
don't
like,
know.
It's all some sort of interbreeding, or you have to be someone from another country.
Yeah, basically, I think that's the only way, really.
That's his political standpoint.
I mean, I got lucky and got an internship, and then just sort of slowly kind of stuck around until they gave me an actual job. Mm-hmm. So nepotism and a foreigner, that's all you got to be.
But interns are good here. You know, in the UK, interns are fucking shocking. There's a tip for actually anyone who wants to get in radio. Firstly, it's probably a bad idea. There's no money in it and everyone gets fired. I mean, you know, look at me. I'm just clinging on right now. The UK, fucking terrible. So if you're an intern here and you're slightly good, you could probably be running the BBC within 12 months. There's a little career advice for you, just as a side note.
BBC Radio.
Yeah.
Now that you're in the afternoons, you could get your own segment with the HMS. Keep Camfield in the Morning going. That's sort of how John was pitching it. I like that idea.
I like that idea.
Yeah, bring it on.
I like that idea. I think I should be able to choose a song.
I like this.
Yes, and do like a regular bit. Yeah, like I'm available. Also, you can say whatever you want within reason on that show.
Seriously?
So, yeah, I can speak for like 15 seconds of time now. I kind of like the idea. Could I do like a dual thing within this radio company where I do a bit on that show where we can speak for 15 minutes of time and then I speak for 15 seconds of time introducing Dream Car?
That's brilliant.
Are you like the agent? Are you cutting this deal? Is this your job?
You know what, Ian? I can't make any promises because I really have no pull at all. This is pretty much all I do.
Because you're too nice. You don't fit the temple of hate.
Exactly. I don't, I'm not raging hate all the time, I guess.
No, but so he's raging hate. You go into that room and it's just like, I mean, I've noticed, even from like going in there, I've noticed that even the sweepers on KUPD growl to fit the aesthetic, right? It's all,
yeah.
KUPD. PD.
Yeah, you get the deep, what's his name? I forget the guy's name.
I don't know, but he sounds like he's doing something bad while he's doing your voiceovers.
All right, well, Ian, thank you for your time on the podcast. I like this idea, though. You maybe bring a little nicer element to their show.
Yeah, but there needs to be some sort of balance. Yeah. I think I can be meaner and make them nicer at the same time.
Sort of like the Luke Skywalker to his Darth Vader.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, a little, maybe. But yeah, I'm up for it.
I had a weird thing at the Walgreens. I'm standing in line. I had to go buy a battery for a scale. So I get the damn battery. I'm standing in line. There's probably 700 people in line. I've tried this once in my life before. A guy taps me on the shoulder and goes, "Hey, are you Holmberg?" And I turn, I'm like, "No, I'm not." A few seconds go by, I think, I got away with it. And he goes, "No, you're him. I saw you getting out of that Jeep." And I'm like, "All right, what is it?" And he goes, "Dude, great show." I'm like, "Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. I was just playing with you." And he goes, "So yeah, love it." And he goes, "Let me get whatever it is you're buying." Oh, I know, that's
you want to buy your battery?
Buy my battery for me. And I'm like, no, that's silly. Don't even, no, that's not going to happen. I had a case of water and a battery. Come on, man.
That's $10.
Come on. Well, you know, the battery without my CVS number was $9.30, $6 after I put in the phone number and stuff. But that's pretty good. And then, the water is about $9.70-something, I think. Come on, man, let me get that. I'm like, no. And he goes, "How's it different than me buying you a drink?" Like, I don't know. Just is. I don't know. We're at a drugstore. It just feels weird.
Yeah.
Come on, man. And then he starts to hand me $20. Like, I don't. This is so weird. You cannot do this.
It would be my honor.
So to Kevin over there, thank you for the attempt. I turned him down. And he did say at the end, "You know, Brady would have taken me up on it." Of course he would have. But, you know, I'm not going to do it. I find it very strange that you wanted to buy my battery and my water. No, thank you.
You were talking about how some dude tried to offer to buy your batteries for you.
A man at a Walgreens drugstore tried to buy my 2032 Duracell.
And his reasoning was that it was not just too different from buying a beer, right?
Right. That's what he said. How's it different if I bought you beer? I'm like, it just kind of is. I don't know. It's just weird. We're in line. It's just household products. It's a battery for a scale. I don't want to get on the scale every day and think, man, this only works because of that man.
Thanks, guy.
Yeah, thanks, fellow Kevin.
How often does that happen? Where
not
like,
at
listener,
all. Never, not at all. Ever in my life has it happened that someone tried to offer to buy my sundries.
Well, it's not never just occurred. Anything, but like, do people come up, like, you'll be out for dinner, "Hey, Holmberg, can I buy you a beer?"
I've had a couple, you know, sometimes. But yeah, the weird thing is grocery. Like, it would be if groceries, like Holmberg, yeah. Oh my God, we got 10 items or less line? Let me pick this up for you. I'm like, I don't know. It's weird. It's a very nice gesture, but a battery and some water, that's on me.
But in a way, though, it is the same because, we go out and he buys you a nice craft beer.
Yeah.
It's not too different. It's
except
just what you're buying.
I'm actually
but it is.
Ingesting that beer right there. Right, I would find it very odd if I was buying a six-pack of beer and standing in line. And the guy's like, "Let me get that beer for you." So just, no, I'm going to drink this later. Like, it's different when you've got a beer and you can raise it up and go, "Thanks, man. Cheers, whatever."
Right.
And then guzzle the beer that he just got you. There is something different about it. I don't know what it is, though, because when he said it, I'm like, "You're right. Just buying me something is not. Why are we nitpicking about it? What if it was coffee? It wouldn't have been any big deal. But if it was a can of coffee, it would be very strange. I wonder why we put that perimeter on that.
You guys get enough stuff for free, though.
How so?
Oh, you guys get stuff sent to you all the time.
Bullshit. When?
Oh, my God. You guys get those knives sent to you, like, every Christmas?
Oh, you know, that's a gift.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's like, you guys get gifts sent to you like that.
The guys from Baseline Mechanical send us a knife, which is very nice.
You know, every once in a while, someone will send, like, a pie or cookies or something.
Yeah, I don't want any of that shit.
There's some listener sent those glasses, the engraved glasses.
Oh, yeah, but you got one.
Yeah.
I don't even know. Did I get one?
I'm sure if I got one, you got one.
That was very nice. I didn't see it if I got
that's
it.
That's awesome.
Was very nice stuff. And I got a Tom Brady sucks shirt from some guys.
Yeah.
There are nice little things people will pass on that's usually show related or something like
that. What about the dude that got the DVDs?
Oh, that's just a scam I'm running with a guy to get illegal movies.
That's not just a listener.
It's through, it's through listeners. But he told me once, I went in on that. So I basically kind of just honed in on that.
So you do get a lot of free stuff from your listener base.
I could get it from Larry. But I don't want to tie it that close. It's plausible deniability to be in with this listener that I'm stealing movies with. But yeah, I guess we do get a decent amount of gifts.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't call that free stuff, though. Like, gifts aren't necessarily free stuff. Like, free stuff I would think would be, you know, like, meals and all that stuff that, like, is always free. I don't get that. Or, you know, you go to a thing, it's like, I'm going to buy your pool supplies.
That's sort of a gift in a way.
Yeah, it's free stuff. It's just there's just so many weird little gray areas.
So where do you draw the line?
I don't know. I just don't. You don't have to buy me anything. That's dumb. It's creepy. Batteries, just general, like, if I have to stand in line to pay for it at a cashier,
okay,
don't buy it. Don't do that for anyone. It's an odd thing. Like, we'd had to stand at the register together. He's just going to buy my battery
and
water.
He's
going to buy my battery and water because I'm a big fan. It's just weird.
Yeah.
I couldn't accept that.
That is a little awkward.
Yeah,
but
it's an awkward moment that continues to be awkward. And then what? Do I owe him a walk to the car as we leave the CVS? Do I have to stay while he pays for his things? We have to separate bags. Beers or drinks. That's where we draw our lines.
That's where the line is drawn.
Send the drink over. That's great.
That's it for this episode of HMS All Access. Remember, if you want your questions answered by Eric on the next podcast, you can email me at charlie@98kupd.com. We're also now on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn, so head over there, subscribe, rate, and review. Let us know what you think. If you want anything else, Holmberg's Morning Sickness, or anything 98kupd, you can check out everything at 98kupd.com. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to HMS All Access on Podcast One.